Okay, so let's review some of the halachot that relate to tomorrow. And one of the reasons that you find that I sometimes talk a lot about Erev Yom Tov is because what I found in my learning is that sometimes Erev Yom Tov gives a real key into the character of the Yom Tov itself. The goal of the halachot of Erev, any holiday, seems to be that you have certain feelings and messages given to you that should take you through the whole day. It's almost like a crash course. It gives you some of the emotions, some of the sense that you should have going into the actual day itself. And we talked about Pesach last year, Erev Pesach, and this is going to be Erev Yom Kippur. So first of all, here's a surprising one, but you might have heard this, maybe it's not surprising. But source number one, mitzvah le'achol be'erev Yom Kippur. Ulaharbot b'seuda. What's the mitzvah?
To eat.
To have a seuda. And the Ramah, Haggah, the Ramah, says, Va'asur lehitanot bo. You're not even allowed to what?
Fast.
To fast. Not even allowed. You're not even allowed to fast if you want to. Don't know why you would. Afilu ta'anid chalom. Even if you've had a bad dream, some people fast, you shouldn't. What's the background? What's the reason, actually, that it's a mitzvah to fast on Erev Yom Kippur? Please stop. What is the reason that it is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Why would that be the case?
You won't die.
Yeah,
it'd be easier fast.
No, so that's actually not the official reason. That's why it's good to have one big meal right before the fast. Well, this is not a
to make it special. It's like you don't blow a shofar before.
Okay, so you're building off of your... So Shmuel's building off of his very nice theory, which I think is very good, from a week ago, where it's good to not blow the shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah so you have the good sense, it affects you the right way on Rosh Hashanah. So maybe eating, well then, eating takes... Then you appreciate food when you're not eating it on Yom Kippur. Okay, that's interesting. So here's another reason. But that's nice. But here's another reason. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Source 2. Very interesting reason. You should know this. Dichtiv, because it says in a pasuk, you might have heard this, v'initem et nafshotechem, that you should afflict your souls. So one of you read that far.
No, I didn't read that.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Bitish, I don't know what initem is.
V'initem, you should afflict your souls. He's kidding. He knew that. Bitisha.
I'm being recorded?
Yes.
So?
B'tisha lachodesh ba'erev, on the ninth day at night. What's the problem with that? The pasuk says you should afflict your souls, meaning eat fast, meaning to fast, on the ninth day at night.
Wouldn't that be the night before?
Right. Wouldn't that be, what do you mean the night before?
Like, so the fast is on Shabbos this year?
Right.
So that would be Friday.
Wait, what's Shabbos talking? So that sounds like tonight and tomorrow, on the ninth day at night. That's tonight. The ninth at night is tonight. Hayalo lichtov, it should have written, B'tisha lachodesh ba'erev, on the ninth beginning at night. Why does it say on the ninth at night, it should say at night of the ninth, meaning at the end of the ninth, meaning the tenth, right? At the end of the ninth, at night. Te'anu et nafsho seichem. So, umidichti v'initem, but because it does say it in that way, because it does write it that way, mashma, we hear from there, in the second line of source 2, we hear from that, shayit anu betisha, that you should also fast on the
ninth.
Wait. Great news. Well, let's see. Wait, well, he's not done. Uve emet, but really, Yom HaKippurim eino ela ba'asara lachodesh, but obviously that's only on the 10th, right? Yom Kippur is only on the 10th. V'kiblu chazal, so the Gemara deduced, they accepted, they learned from here, the Gemara did. Da'adarabah, that just the opposite is true. Mitzvah min ha'tzorah le'achol be'erev Yom Kippur. Because what do we, yes, definitely do on the ninth anyway?
Eat.
Eat, right? There's no question. So when it says that the fast is, so to speak, applies on the ninth as well as the tenth, then that means that whatever it is about food that you're doing on the
tenth should be the opposite on the ninth.
On the ninth, and that whatever you're doing on the ninth is a
mitzvah.
Mitzvah, right. right? That the, in other words, that therefore, because it seems to say that the fast is on the 9th and the 10th, that means that whatever food-related thing you do on the 9th is as much a mitzvah as the food-related thing you do on the 10th, which is fasting. So they deduced that eating on the 9th is a mitzvah, and in fact, this is true. There are people who try and continually have food in their mouth. They'll have a lollipop or, you know, sucking candies continually all day long, so that they're as if they're eating all the time, right? Some people on Arabic
meal after meal after.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, sucking candies is better than, let's say, chugging the yellow soup croutons just continually. That's just on and on, box after box, canister after canister.
So bad.
That would be. I would, right. You go to the deli and just say, just.
I'll order a beef fajita, some sushi.
No, just be like, give me the whole menu.
Bottomless. Just keep bringing me beef fajitas.
Okay,
I'm just gonna eat them until you close. I'm gonna eat them till you close. Yeah. Just keep bringing me food. Just send me the bill.
Anyway. Rabbi,
yes. It's a mitzvah, though.
It's for the good.
I'm not paying.
And then walk out in a huff. I'm not paying.
$12,000?
Right. V'ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem wanted, this is the middle of source 2, litein schar, to give reward, be'ad ha'achila, for the eating. This is what the Gemara deduced. Ki'ilu hitanu, as if you fasted. She'eino doma mitzvah she'yesh bo tzar, because it's not similar, it's not comparable, a mitzvah that there's no pain. Kemosha amru, like it says, lefum tzara agra. Ilu kasav, okay, fine. Okay, so in other words, the mitzvah of eating on the 9th is as important, is as crucial, says this halacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Shulchan Aruch, as fasting on the 10th.
So why don't we, like, I mean, if they're just as crucial,
right?
Then it's sort of like the fasting is so much more important because it's like more solemn. Food is like a happy thing.
Well, who says that? Who says solemnity is the most important thing? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe solemnity is no. Clearly, on a Torah level, on a D'oraita level, the fasting. If you had to choose one or the other, I'd say fast on Yom Kippur. You have to know it seriously to take this. It's just saying. It's not really saying take your pick, right? But it's just saying that when you do eat, if you eat anyway on Erev Yom Kippur, you're getting a mitzvah. And there are people who take that very seriously. Some practical advice from the Shulchan Aruch, source 3, but we have to wait for a few people to refocus and find source 3, which is fine. It's the end of a day, long day. So we're waiting for, there you go, source 3. Be'erev Yom HaKippurim, on Erev Yom Kippur, some practical advice from the Shulchan Aruch for you. Ein lo le'achol, ela ma'achalim kalim lehisakel. You should only eat foods that are easy to digest. Kidei shelo yehesaveo miska'el kishis paleo. So you're not feeling bloated and heavy when you daven on Yom Kippur. Okay, moving on. An important halacha in source 4, important to realize also, a lot of food-related halacha. Source 4, im hifsik me'achilato, if you do take a break in your eating, ba'od hayom gadol, when there's still time left in the day, yachol lachzor v'le'achol, you can continue to go back and eat, kol zman shelo kibel alavatani, as long as you have not accepted the fast. So if you finish what you think will be your last meal at 4 o'clock, and then you realize, oh my gosh, the fast doesn't start till 6, I don't know when it starts, but 6 o'clock, let's say, you can eat, as long as you did not say, I accept the fast on myself. You
well,
can continue to eat.
If you finish your meal and it's 4, then right. You're starting to fast, because you think it started at 4.
But you didn't. If you accept it on yourself, you're right. But if you didn't accept, maybe my case was off, but if you do not accept the fast upon yourself, you don't accept that I'm now fasting, and the fast has begun, then you can continue to eat.
Until the time.
Until the time, right. No, meaning as long as you don't declare that your fast is beginning, you can eat all the way through Yom Kippur. As long as you never declare that you want your fast to begin.
Yeah, then you can fast on Yom Kippur.
I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Okay, as long as you just don't say, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Anyway. Not only that, that's true. Yes, that's, I was kidding. I was kidding. That's true. That's chumra. Afal pi, source 5. Sha'achal se'uda ha'mafseket. Not only that, but even though you've eaten the se'uda ha'mafseket, that's the final meal before the fast. Stop. Even though you've eaten the big final meal before the fast, not only that, even though you've eaten that meal, mutar lachzor v'lachol, you're still allowed to eat. If you've eaten the se'uda ha'mafseket and you get to shul, and then you want to have some more water to go into before you go into shul for kol nidre, you can yes do that as long as you haven't accepted the fast. And he even says v'kabbalah b'leiv eina kabbalah. And if you've thought in your heart, well, I want my fast to start, doesn't matter either. So this is very lenient, okay? So if you finish your Suda Mafsekes, even though it's called the Suda Mafsekes, you said it's the last meal I'm going to eat.
So until the fast actually starts, you can't
Correct.
Really accept it.
Unless you say explicitly, I'm fasting now. But that's not a smart idea. You should really wait until you get to shul, and then davening starting, and then you accept it. There's no reason to say explicitly after your Suda Mafsekes, I'm starting my fast now. You should really think I'm not starting my fast now, so that if you want to grab a little more food or drink something, you can. Right? As long as you don't say explicitly, verbally, that I am accepting the fast, it doesn't begin yet for you. Shmuel Michaels.
Do you need to say explicitly that I'm accepting my fast for Yom Kippur?
Yes.
Or does it like automatically come upon?
Yeah, I think that's at some point. If you don't accept it verbally, eventually it starts. Meaning once we hit Seif.
Do you need to specifically say Yom Kippur?
No, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Fast, I'm accepting my fast tomorrow. But you should avoid saying it because you can still have some water if you haven't said that. But if you said that, then...
What about when you light candles?
What about what?
When you light candles.
Lighting candles would be not necessarily a declaration that you're going to fast because you can light candles early. If you light candles early and you haven't said you're going to fast, that you're accepting your fast, you can yes still eat. So if you want,
the fast can officially start.
Right, of course. So if you want to trick your younger siblings or older siblings, parents or people who don't know that much, you can go to them at like noon and just have them say, "I'm fasting." Have them say those words or something. Have a joke whose punchline is they have to say, "I'm fasting," and then.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kaparo. Let's talk a little about Kaparo. Very interesting.
It's like fast. Now you have to fast.
Nah, just kidding.
That's gonna get you into a good.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Kaparo. Very important to realize the background of Kaparo. Right. Everybody does. Many people do Kaparo. What is the background? So take a look at this interesting Shulchan Aruch in Source 6. This might surprise you. Ma shenohagim. Already a little flippant. That thing that people do. La'asot kaparot erev Yom HaKippurim, to do kaparot, to do forgiveness. Lishchot tarnagol, that they kill a rooster al ben zachar. Vilomar ala psukim, and they say psukim over it. Yeshlem noah haminah. The Shulchan Aruch, your guy. The Mechaber, the Sephardi, Rav Yosef Karo says, don't bother. He says it's a terrible thing to do.
What?
To kill the chicken? Well,
no, kaparot. To do kaparot. He says kaparot is a bad thing to do.
I agree with him.
Why?
First time I agree with Sephardi.
Why? So look at source number. Look at what I guess is source 6b, apparently. 6b, as much as it is. Look at the source between 6 and 7. Yeshlum Noah HaMinhag, why, says the Mishnah Berurah? Mishum Chashash Darkei HaEmori. Very very interesting. Darkei HaEmori. This is apparently, he was afraid, the Mechaber was afraid, the Shulchan Aruch was afraid, that this was a practice that was innovated because of who? Who originally did this that we took it from?
The Christians.
Well, it doesn't say Christian. Some other nation. This might have crept into our religion from another nation, in which case it would be way, way worse to do it than not to, because you're now imitating some other nation. He thinks it's Darkei HaEmori. Maybe the Emori doesn't literally mean the Emori, but some other nation, maybe Christians, I'm not sure who he has in mind here, some other nation maybe was doing this that gave us this idea, this what he thinks is a bad idea, to just take, to kill a chicken and say some psukim and somehow you got repented. Okay, so he says that's a bad idea. What?
Can you do kapara with money?
Good, so is that different? So maybe that's different, but the truth is, maybe it's not so different, because the idea that you're you know, waving anything around and getting kapara by saying psukim is something that I think the mechaber would be uncomfortable with. Is it better? You have to think, was his objection related to the fact that it's an animal? I'm not sure, right? I don't get that sense just from reading. It sounds like the whole thing didn't.
Maybe it was like a form of a desire with an animal because they wouldn't do it with.
Oh, maybe they didn't do that with money. That's an interesting question. Would the mechaber care if you did it with money? I get the sense that he wouldn't love it, but I don't know if he would necessarily object.
Isn't it not like such a strict rule to do it?
So that's what we're seeing. Yeah. So that's the mechaber. That's the mechaber. He says don't even bother. He says it's a bad idea. He says it's a avodah zarah. He says maybe it is. The Ramah, then, right, for Ashkenazim, for Moshe Yisraelis, the Haggah, my first year here, I said, "What does Haggah mean?" What do you see that?
Correction.
I know, but so somebody, I won't say who, said, this was a bunch of years ago. He said, "Harav Gershon Horowitz." Haggah. Out of nowhere, Harav Gershon Horowitz. Anyway, the Haggah, which just means correction, so it's the Ramah of Moshe Yisraelis, says the following. He says no. He says that's not true. V'yesh meha ga'onim. There were ga'onim, which is like the era between the Gemara and the Rishonim.
Which nobody ever talks about.
Okay, so now here you go. Now we are. Shekatvu minhag zeh. Who wrote that you should, yes, do this minhag? The ga'onim said to do it. A lot of our minhagim come from the ga'onim, actually. Avachin kasvu oso rabbi min achronim. And many of the achronim, the later people, said to do it. He left out the Rishonim. But the achronim and the ga'onim all said to do it. And this is what we've been doing for 1,000 years, and why should we change it? Okay, so the Ramah, the Haggah, Gershon Horowitz, says that you should, yes, do this minhag. This is a minhag, a time-honored minhag that we've been doing for thousands of years. This is an ancient minhag. This is a minhag we've been doing for a long time. He says, how dare you say that we should stop this minhag because maybe it's a avodah zarah? He says, we've been doing it for 1,000 years, right? How can you say that the Gaonim would have told us to do a idolatrous minhag? That's terrible. Again, then he says how to do it. V'noagin likach tarnagol. He even tells you exactly how to do it. V'noagin
grab a chicken.
Likach tarnagol zecher lezachar. You should a male. This is how we do it. A male should take a male rooster. This part I've never understood. This is a minhag I've never understood at all, but this is brought down. A pregnant woman should take shtei tarnagolim, ulai teilit zachar, because maybe she's going to have a male baby.
What?
Yeah, but the male baby doesn't have any sins to repent for. I don't understand why you would need to do kaparat for a fetus. I don't know. I don't. I'm not making fun of it. I'm not making fun of it. Chas v'shalom. I'm just saying I literally don't. You don't have to laugh at it. I just personally don't understand.
Maybe he kicked in her stomach.
No, it's nothing to make fun of. I just have a question about the minhag. That's all I'm saying.
He reached his hand through her stomach and caused her to.
Okay.
Yes.
And he says you should do white chickens. Al derech shenamar, because it says imenu chateichem kashanim kashal galbinu. We're cleansed. We're white. We wear a lot of white. You'll notice on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So you should. He says you should choose white chickens, white animals. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so that's the next thing. The Samach Yadav Alav, and he says you should lean your hand on it. Demut HaKorban, like you're bringing an offering, a korban.
All your weight on it, though, then? And its neck would break?
No.
Is that what you do with the korban?
Not a bird korban.
What?
Not a bird korban. V'zorkin b'nei me'ehem al hagagot o b'chatzer. I don't know if any of you do this. I can't say it so much as I do. He says you should sprinkle the innards, the insides of the animal, on roofs and courtyards. Well, that's lame. Because he says here you should cut out the innards and throw it on the roof. So.
Okay, I'll open it.
Myself, I do not happen to see innards of animals on your...
Well, if you did not come by and check.
I did.
Also, I rent, so I can't do that. If I own my house. Makom sheha'ofot yecholon lekachat. Because that way, what's the reason? Because that way you're actually feeding the other birds that can come by and eat it. So you're actually feeding the animals at the same time.
Really?
That's what he says.
They have to go there.
Interesting question on the bottom by the tour, on the bottom of the first page, source number 7. We'll wait for a few more people to refocus and find source 7 on the bottom of the first page. Fine. So he says the following: My shna tarnagol. Why should you do? Why should you use a rooster actually? Mi behema v'chaya. Why not use an animal? Why not use your puppy?
It's hard to swing a puppy over your head and then kill it and sprinkle it.
Come on. You think the tour is gonna say that?
You already eat a chicken.
Can I get a korban?
So why kill a puppy?
Why kill a puppy? Because I like this question because I don't like puppies. And I think that I would do this if I could.
How do you not like dogs?
I love dogs.
Actually, you can't be dogs.
So he says the following. He says the following. He says, why not? What?
Don't you have to do kosher animals?
No. He says, why? He says, what's the difference?
So why don't you just take your fish?
So he says, a fish, right. Why not an elephant or a fish or a fish offense? Or elephant? He says, ha vadai kush yahu. He says, you know, that's a really good question. Not sure how much he means that. Ela sheyesh ba shnei tamim. He says, but there's two reasons. Echad, first of all, shatarnigol matzoi bevayit, because it's easier to find them in the house.
Ah,
it's simply a matter of practicality to go off and find.
Everyone has a chicken in their house.
Ah.
I have my sister.
That's me. I like Susan.
But there's a more important reason. Let's go on. The od yesh bimakomo ashirim shaosin tumurat elim. He says that there actually are people. He says there are some rich people. I don't know any myself, but he says there are some rich people who use alien goats. The ikur, but what's the point? Bale karnayim. He says either way, a rooster or a goat, or maybe I said the wrong
one.
Has a karnayim. I'm not rich, but has karnayim, has what?
Horns.
Roosters have like little things, no?
No.
Oh, they're talking about the Satan roosters.
Demut.
No,
no, no. Obviously not. But he's saying if you take another animal, you should take an animal that has horns. Demut elo shel Yitzchak Avinu, like the isle, like the ram of Yitzchak. Lefichach lo davar kavuahu. So it really doesn't matter. The point is it's better to do something than. The ode, but here's the other reason that you should use a rooster. Sheshmo gever. The name, and sometimes in halacha and Torah, for a rooster is actually a gever. What else does gever mean, though?
A man.
A man. So it's almost like you're doing yourself there. It's almost like you're whatever. Mikra gavra.
I think what they mean by horns is they have these two things that go out like that.
No, they have things on. Okay, fine. Never seen one myself. Okay. A little bit about the most important thing about Erev Yom Kippur, and you have this in section C, source 9 and on. I can't do all of this now. We only have a few minutes. But the idea of tshuva, right? Obviously, as much as we eat and maybe do kaparot, and also it's important to realize some people go to, it's very important, some people go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, even some women go on Erev Yom Kippur. People who, what?
Erev Yom Kippur, they're closing the mikvah. 9:32 for the
women.
It's a lot of time.
Sorry. But there are many people who go once a year and only go on Erev Yom Kippur. Even if you're not somebody who frequents, there are some people who go every Erev Shabbos, there are some people who go three times a day. There are very many minhagim, this is true, on mikvah, but even if you don't usually go, some people have the minhag to go at least on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, but let's look at source number 9, because here we get into the idea of tshuva, which is, you know, as much as we think about the tefillah, really tefillah, which takes up so much time on Yom Kippur, is not really supposed to be the only thing you're doing. Right? It's become very long, and there's lots of extra piyutim and songs.
Entire day.
But tshuva is really the order of the day, and don't forget that. You're supposed to do tshuva this time of year. You're supposed to literally find people you've made mistakes to and done things wrong to and actually apologize. Anyway, so he says the following. Sarich lihit vadot, you have to do vidui b'mincha, at mincha, this is source 9, kodem sudat hamasek. Sudat hamasek. You're supposed to do vidui before you have your final meal. Okay, so the minhag is to do mincha early. Aha! So I'll get to this in a second, why, but...
They're doing that at the middle school, they're doing that.
Very good. So just to mention to you, at 1:15, or 1:17, that was not worth correcting me for. At 1:15 around, there is a mincha tomorrow at the middle school. It's good to do mincha early, and there will be vidoy in it. Rabbi Alter is speaking at 12:50, so you can even go for that. He's speaking before that for 25 minutes. And then there will be a mincha. It's a nice long mincha because it has vidoy in it. The same vidoy that... There will be a minion, yeah. There will be quite a minion. In fact, anyone can come that wants to from around town. So it's going to be a nice minion. It's maybe worth it. You have to go early anyway. Right. So if you go at 1:15 for mincha, that will take care of that. But mincha, why do we do vidoy at mincha erev Yom Kippur? It's not even Yom Kippur. So Shifra, I think, had a reason for this. You don't die. So the Rambam, so it's actually true that the Rambam says in Hilchot Shuva, in Perek, I think, hey, I don't know, Perek, I think Perek, hey, did I give it here? I don't think, did I give you the Rambam? The Rambam says, I didn't give it to you, but this is from a Rambam. Oh, yeah, I did, Perek Bet, source 13. Shalo yechanek besuuda kodem shiyas vadeh. So he says you should do vidui first, lest you die in your meal. What is he, that sounds a little far-fetched. Lest you choke and die when you eat. Well, what is he? There has to be something deeper here. What is he talking about? Why would that be some? What is he really trying to say? I mean, the likelihood is awfully slim. So what is he really trying to say that you should do vidoy before mincha and then you won't choke and die when you eat? What's the message that he's trying to send? I mean, you could take him literally if you want to at face value, but maybe there's something else here.
Maybe you were like supposed to die the year before Hashem like wanted to give you the whole year, and then you were supposed to die the day before Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And so you say vidui to like erase any sins to make sure that
okay.
You don't die that
That's day. Right. Maybe the idea that it's the last chance Hashem would have. Good. Okay, that's a good message, Zev.
Because you don't want to go into Yom Kippur.
Right.
Sins if you can. Better to just go in with that.
Well, he says, when he says that you might choke and die, maybe he's literal, maybe it's likely augment, or maybe it's also the idea that you should feel a sense of fear. Rambam is perfectly happy with you feeling a sense of fear, as you should, in those moments before Yom Kippur. Because as Liat's pointing at him, just building off of Liat's idea, I'm not really changing it, the idea is that you should not feel in a comfortable place. It's not a comfortable day. It's not like you should just go in, you know, moseying on through. I'm just having my meal, you know, kind of, right? Even the vidui doesn't take away the fact that you still might choke and die. The idea, but at least you'll have done vidui. He's not saying you're not going to choke and die now. He just means you'll have already done vidui, so it's better for you that way than if you... The vidui isn't preventing you from dying. The vidui just means that when you die, it will have... You'll die in a better place having done vidui. So what's he saying? He's saying that when you eat that meal, you should have a sense of fear. It's a little bit of a sense of fear in that meal. It's not just a sense of comfort that I'm just fattening myself up for the meal, for the day. Almost like when you think about Tisha B'Av, if you've had a real sudah mafsekes, you just sit on the floor with your egg and your... and the bread, right? It's a pretty depressing meal. That's not a good meal. I mean, you can have a meal before that, but that's the real Sudah Mafsekes. This is it's the same thing. You are supposed to feel the fear during that meal, right, that you'd feel during the day, during Yom Kippur itself, right? The feeling of, maybe I'll die. I really, Hashem could do whatever He wants, even though I'm just eating my meal. I could just choke and die. That sense of the reality of judgment, the reality of din, should be as real to you during that meal, and hopefully during the day itself. If you just walk into the day without feeling that beforehand, good luck. The meal should be the first chance that you have to feel that sense of trepidation, of nervousness, of discomfort that, you know, din is difficult, Yom Kippur is difficult, and it's not just going to be, I'm just moseying on through. Right? And that sense should take you from the meal itself all the way through. If you miss that sense during the meal and you're just eating and not thinking about that, right? It's eating while thinking, it's about eating while thinking about the fact that Hashem can do whatever he wants. That he can take me away this second. Right? Which we ignore that. We don't think about that, you know? But that's the sense I think Rambam is saying you should have during this meal. That is not a meal of fattening myself up. I mean, it does that too, you know. But it's not just that. And that's the message of that meal that should probably accompany you, you know, through the next day. So there you go. There's a lot more here. You can take a look at it if you have some time and want to. But have a meaningful and easy Yom Kippur.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.